Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men, and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked, saying, Tell me your name, I pray. I guess he could have said Israel, but no, okay. Tell me your name, I pray. And he said, Why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, which means face of God. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip in the muscle that shrank. Jacob wrestling with the Lord, and the Lord takes that hand that you and I are so familiar with as a healing hand that cleansed the lepers and raised the dead and opened the blind eyes. That hand reached out and touched Jacob in his hip and wounded him. The hip socket is held in place by muscle. That's why your hip doesn't come out of socket. Jesus reached in and compromised that muscle that holds the socket in place, and now the thing goes out of joint on him. Has anybody here ever had a bone that had a tendency to go out of socket on you? We had got one hand on that. I've never had it, but I've talked to some guys, and it's like when that thing goes out of socket on you, like your shoulder or something, I mean, it's like, whoa, your pain just goes bam, because get that back in socket. That is killing me right now. And as long as it's in socket, you're okay. If the thing goes out of socket, now you are instantly like somebody just put a knife in you. And I think that's what it was like for Jacob. As long as the thing was in socket, he was okay. When the thing went out, his pain levels went through the roof. And so it was like, whatever I have to do to keep that thing in socket. The muscle wasn't doing its job, so he had to compensate in every way he could. And here's my theory on it, Eric. I think the reason he limped was not that it hurt to walk. It's that if he didn't walk just right, that thing would go out of socket. And so he's favoring the thing with every step to keep the thing in socket. Hosea gives us an interesting commentary on this moment, because as Jacob is wrestling with the Lord, his hip goes out of socket. So he is now, his pain levels are on a 10. The hip is out of socket, and he's wrestling with the Lord, and the Lord's trying to get away from him, and he's like, I'm not letting go. But his pain levels are off the charts. And Hosea adds an interesting commentary to this thing. In Hosea chapter 12, verse 4, Hosea says this, Yes, he struggled with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought favor from him. So Hosea adds a little twist to it. He says, Jacob wept. Was he weeping because it hurt, or was he weeping because he wanted God? Somebody say yes. Have you ever been in a place with God where, you know, you're just crying out to God and you couldn't really separate? Am I crying right now because I'm in so much pain, or am I crying right now because I want Him with all my heart? And sometimes you can't really separate it. All I know is I am really hurting, and I really want God with everything. And so Jacob, he's weeping in this thing because his pain levels are up here, and his heart, he wants God with everything. And Hosea says, yeah, he was weeping all right. And holding on to God became his more painful option. Sometimes it's less painful to let go. There are some who will get something put out of joint. You know, something goes out of joint, something didn't work out good. They hit into something that it was just like, oh, the thing goes out of joint, and oh, that's it. They're just in so much pain, and they let go. Would the spirit of Jacob come upon us, that Lord, when we're in that place where the thing is hurting, our pain levels are like this, let a spirit of Jacob lay hold of us that says, I will never let go. I will not let you go until you bless me. And so now Jacob has a grip on Jesus Christ, on promise himself. And the Lord says to him, let me go. Have you ever had a grip on a promise from God that tried to get away from you? The promise sometimes seems to take on its own energy. Let me go. And Jacob's like, I'm not letting go. And the promise is saying to him, let me go. And Jacob is like, I will not let you go. When you have a promise from God, one of the most challenging things in your journey will be to hold on to that promise, because it always wants to get away from you. I've been on a thing for 20 years now, this journey that I didn't talk about it. I didn't really mention my voice. I didn't introduce. Maybe I'll do that tomorrow night. But I've been on a journey with the Lord for 20 years related to the vocal thing and coming after God, and He's given me some promise, and I can assure you, over 20 years, over a 20-year period, there's been lots of times that promise tried to get away from me. And there's some times that I've just had to, I'm losing it. I'm losing my grip on it. And it's like, everything has to stop. I have got to get my grip on that promise one more time. And so there comes this tenacity, this resolve, whatever I have to do, but I've got to get my grip again on the promise of God. Fasting and prayer and immersion in the Word, coming after God with all your heart. But when you have a promise from God, never let that go. Sometimes it seems to want to get loose of you, but let the spirit of Jacob take hold of you. I will not let go the promise God has given me. Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit in this language. He called him the Spirit of promise, the promise of the Father. So the Holy Spirit, one of the names of the Holy Spirit, is the promise. He is the promise. And when you have your fingers around a promise from God, you have yourself wrapped around a piece of God, and never let go the promise God gives you. God didn't take down Jacob's ability to hold on. He took down his ability to push. God didn't take him down here. He took him down here. Jacob could still hold on. He just couldn't push anymore. Because your legs represent that mechanism of strength, that pushing mechanism. If you want a job done, and Pastor Eric, I'm sure you know this one well. If you want a job to get done in the church, give it to a young guy. Those old guys that limp around, they can't get much done. You want something done, give it to a young guy that's got some legs that'll get into that thing and push. And Jacob was a pusher. He knew what it was to get his legs into something, and he says when he wanted a blessing, man, he's going to push his way into that blessing. When he wanted the birthright, man, he's going to push his way into some birthright. When he wants some flocks and herds, he's going to put. And the guy has a history of being a pusher. He's the kind of guy that when he wants something, don't get in my way, I'll run you over. He's a pusher. And now God comes to this guy that knows how to push his way through. The scripture says God takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. And that's what it means. He takes no pleasure in our ability, in our own natural strength, to push our way into something. So God comes to Jacob, the pusher, and says, I'm taking you down. I'm taking down your ability to push your way into stuff. And he reduces Jacob to this tentative, dependent, weakened guy that simply cannot push anymore. He just can't. And the whole purpose of taking his hip down, in one word, is meekness. It's all about meekness. Meekness is what God is after when he takes out your hip. Meekness is what God is after, Moses, when he sends you into that wilderness for 40 years. That's why the scripture says that he was the meekest man on the earth. God had to take him to the wilderness for 40 years to put it in him, but he comes out the meekest man. And God is after meekness in Jacob. Why? Because it's meekness in the character of Jacob that will give us a Joseph. Not going to get a Joseph if we just let you push your way around, and all that Joseph sees is a father that knows how to push his way into stuff. No, I'm not going to find a Joseph that way. I'm going to take your hip out, Jacob. I'm going to reduce you to a brokenness and a meekness, because I am after Joseph. When God is after a Joseph generation, he starts by hitting the Jacobs. Joseph's brothers were raised by Jacob. Joseph was raised by Israel. And God comes to Jacob when Joseph is right around 4 years old. Hard to put an exact number on it, but when he's around 4 years old, he's still in those formative years. And God comes to Jacob like this: Jacob, if I leave you alone and leave you to yourself right now, I'm just not going to get a Joseph out of you, because looking at your track record, you're not doing so well right now. Your eldest, Reuben, well, he's going to sleep with one of Jacob's wives. The next two down, Levi and Simeon, they're hotheads. They have a temper issue. They're going to destroy an entire community in their anger. The number four guy on the list is Judah. Judah has a problem with prostitutes. And God's like, you know what, Jacob? For all your pushing, we're not going in a good direction. And so God interrupts the father because he wants to transform Jacob's fathering paradigm to get a Joseph out of the thing. Peniel is not so much about Jacob, it's about Joseph. So the next part of Jacob's journey that we come to is in Genesis 33. Jacob has come from Haran. He has come to Peniel. Now, Peniel is on the east side of the Jordan River. It's just shy of the Jordan. Jacob has not yet actually crossed into Canaan in this encounter. We come to chapter 33. Jacob crosses the Jordan, steps into Canaan, and God is like, how about it? You said that if I would do this, this, and this, that I would be your God. And when Jacob steps into Canaan, the first thing he does, Genesis 33, he comes to a place called Shechem, Succoth. Shechem. Let me get it straight here. He comes to Shechem, and it's the first place in Canaan where he sets up camp, and he erects an altar to the Lord in Shechem. And right now I'm reading Genesis 33, verse 20. Then he erected an altar there and called it El Elohe Israel, which being interpreted means this literally, God, the God of Israel. Jacob constructs an altar. His first order of business, once he steps into Canaan, he makes the altar and he names it God, the God of Jacob. In other words, you are now my God. And at Shechem, Genesis 33, he is now the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Jacob seals the deal. The covenant is finalized. He is now my God. And you might be critical of a few things about Jacob, but I'll say this in his favor. He never backed down from that covenant. When he came into covenant with God in Genesis 33 and said, you are now my God, he never moved from it. He never backed down. It's about to get tested to the max. But to the end, Jacob in the darkness, when light was still being sown for him, he said in his heart, you are my God, no matter what comes my way, no matter what darkness, no matter how the journey goes, you are now my God. And it's about to get tested.